Hello, everybody. Welcome to Angela and Valerie's Blog Talk Radio. Today, this week, we're talking about transitions. And as we get our little music going, stop. Didn't we do this last time? We
Oh, man.
Okay. There we
okay.
go. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. We just have really thought about, you know, there's a lot of transitions going on in the world. Yes, Angela, how are you today?
Yes, I am fantastic. How are you?
awesome, you know. But we just wanted to kind of share a bit about, you know, over the last year, our journey and how transitions have been kind of working, you know, with us personally, because we can just share from our own experiences. And how when we kind of, a year ago or in December, close to a year ago, I'd say, how Angela and I met was on a in a community, and it was in a forum. And so we just kind of want to share, kind of go back down the yellow brick road, because there's some really cool things that are we're both experiencing mm-hmm. as we're launching the rockets of our own desire, as Abraham Hicks always talks about. And how it, we're celebrating right now. We're in a celebration stage, kind of mm-hmm. Based on our personal commitment to expanding. Yes?
Yes, definitely.
mm-hmm. So we kind of wanted to share a little bit about that. And let's see if there's anybody on we want to send a shout-out to anybody on our chat line. So we just say welcome to everyone. Mm-hmm. And thanks for joining us today.
Trying to get in that chat room. Having a little technical difficulties over here. But
I signed in as a co-host, too.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. So, you know, Angela, just, you know, if you, I'm gonna kind of not co-host, I mean, not like interview you, but in a sense, I'll just kind of segue into you. So, you know, what's one of the transitions that you've been experiencing over the last year, especially since we started this, you know, created more of our expansion around our company and stuff? What have you found, you know, some of the transitions? What's one transition that's been real meaningful for you in regards to?
Well, the whole, because this is a big one, the whole, the me moving from Louisiana to Southern California. I mean, that was something that I wanted to do ever since I had vacation here in 2008 with the kids. It just felt like home, but I wanted, I was really in my head about how that was supposed to look, how everything was supposed to line up, and what, if I had to explain it to someone, you know, how I wanted to be able to explain and go boom, 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 you know, this happened like this and this happened like this and this went smoothly and this, you know, everything had to go or look like it went by smoothly. But what, in all actuality, the move did go smoothly, but it wasn't like I was, I was nervous, anxious, excited, scared. You know, I went through all those range of emotions, but when I decided to go ahead and make that move, I you know, sold some stuff, put some stuff on Craigslist, and everything just flowed. I things sold like they were supposed to. Things moved like the universe opened the pathway for me to just, you know, an easy pathway for me to go down, you know, no, a couple of obstacles, but I was able to get around them really easily. And so that transition, you know, from when I made the decision to right before I moved, selling all my stuff, getting everything ready, went pretty smoothly. Now, there was a couple of bumps in the road on the way over here. I got caught in a hailstorm, which really freaked me out.
I remember
because,
that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was like, it was like a seven, eight-minute hailstorm. We're on the highway, and all we could do is just sit there. That was it. And my car is a year old, or not even about a year and a half old. And I'm sitting there going, "What? Okay, what am I supposed to get about this? I don't understand. I don't know if it's going to come later. But, you know, even though the move was what I wanted and everything moved out of the way for me to make that move, I really got scared when that happened. But the whole point about, you know, making a move or transitioning from one situation into another is that I have this thing in my head that it's supposed to look a certain way and that certain things are not supposed to happen, and that's just not the way it worked out.
Ah. Well, share. So this is what's interesting. Share a little bit about, go back a year, because there was a year that you really started doing this, but you didn't act on that, did you? Like, go back a little bit that you had been wanting to move to San Diego.
Yes.
Say a little bit more about that, because I think it's, you know, part of this transitioning is, you know, how contrast shows when we make decisions and when we don't make decisions. So I really want to segue a little bit into that, because I think it's going to serve.
Well, what do you mean from the time that I decided
like
to...
Like when you decided to, like there was a time that you decided to move, but you didn't make that decision. So there was contrast or there was obstacles that showed up because you didn't make that move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I did want to make the move and I hadn't, there's a lot of things that showed up that was showing me that I was not in alignment of with where my heart and my thoughts were. Things kind of started to kind of close where I was in Louisiana, job-wise. Things started closing up. A lot of people fell out of my life. And it wasn't anything major in particular that happened. It was just that things started kind of like falling to the wayside. It's like wow. That's kind of hard for me to go back to and describe because.
Well, I remember when, you know, there was a time that you really, really wanted to, you know, go to, I remember Sharon, so I'll kind of support you on this. I remember when you were sharing, you really wanted to go because you went on vacation and you felt at home. Do you remember?
Yes.
You were saying,
yes.
I felt at home. I want to move here. And yet there was a part of you that wasn't ready for that. It wasn't ready for you to jump full heartedly into that. There was
into
just
it.
Something holding you back, right?
Right.
So you got to, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say right, because otherwise I wouldn't have let anything stop me, because at that time, I had the money sitting in the bank to do it. And we got here I had everything I needed to be able to make that move. But
all the outer stuff, right?
Right. Right. All
okay.
the, you know, all the material things I had was available to me to be able to make that move. But internally, I really can't describe where I was at that time. It's just my heart wanted to be here, but there was something that was keeping me back in Louisiana, not having me able to make that move. And I think it was the whole thing about just picking up and leaving. I think I was a little afraid of that. Because I think I thought I was supposed to close everything up, or I was supposed to, you know, sew a few things up, and it just didn't look right to me. I was too in my head with everything.
Yeah, but in your heart, this is what's so interesting. Had you listened to your heart, you probably would have had the same experiences when you listened to your heart this year.
Yes.
But you weren't listening to your heart. I really wanted to get that. Yeah.
No, I was not. I wasn't listening to my heart. I let fear kind of take over. And,
an attachment to, you know, I mean, that was a big move. I'll guarantee you, it was a big move. You have two children. It was a big move. It wasn't something that you were just going to flip-floppily and being practical in a lot of areas as you are. I mean, I could see spontaneous was like part of, you know, the equation, but you were like, oh, I don't know. You put the reins on that, yeah, a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, yeah. based on you not listening to your heart in that transitionary, what happened based on that? Like, what was the obstacle that came up based on you closing yourself off to your heart? Even though you thought, okay, well, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. I just was not happy. I wasn't happy. I felt like I had taken a step back, but like I said, doors were closing in Louisiana for me. Things were not, there was no flow of anything. I was starting to struggle a lot, struggling to take care of things, paying rent, struggling to, get, insurance paid and, certain bills paid. And it just seemed like everything was just coming to a head, and I needed to make a decision on something, and I couldn't bring myself to make that decision for whatever reason. But there was one thing that, and this was before I made the move, that let me know that I was closing, that the doors were really shutting, like closed. Like, I wouldn't be able to go through them anymore. I have this totem where I was. I had a totem animal, a red bird, that I would see all of the time whenever I would kind of get lost in my head about things, and I was questioning certain things, and I would see the red bird whenever I would ask for guidance. And I remember driving down the road after bringing my daughter to school, and I saw the red bird, but it was dead.
Oh.
In the street. And that really freaked me out. That
almost like
me.
A metaphor. It wasn't like a
yeah.
metaphor, like you had, it was kind of like that was a connection or a metaphor that you, by not going when your heart said, I want to be here, it was like you were stepping on your dreams. You were basically
yes.
killing your dreams or the part of you that wanted to expand.
Yes.
And everything looked like on the outside, like it was ready, but there was conditions or beliefs that kept you or prevented you. That you just kind of put the brakes on based on those beliefs, not based on the fact that the universe wasn't saying, okay, here you go, the path is open.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't trusting.
Bingo.
I was not trusting. I wasn't trusting that everything would be taken care of. I didn't trust it. But when I saw that was a catalyst for me to like, okay, I got it. Like, if I didn't get anything else, I got that. that woke me up because, on the way to bringing my daughter to school, I'm like, okay, universe, I'm a little lost and I need some guidance. And on the way back home, that really shook me up when I saw that bird in the street and it was dead. I had never seen that before.
I haven't either.
Flying across my path.
I've never seen that, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, wow, I really need to do, I just need to make a move. I just need to get out of my head about it. My heart wants to be there, and my heart wants me to be there. My soul wants me to be there. I feel it. I need to get out of my head about it. And then once I got out of my head about it and made that decision without having to worry about what it was going to look like to other people, then everything started to flow. But that was a big part
of you, because I was thinking about what's interesting was, as doors started closing, there was one door that opened, and that was when you joined the community that we met at, which was
Powerful
Intentions. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that Powerful Intentions was a really that was like a blessing for me, because before then, I had gotten let go of a job that I had I worked for the state for almost 6 years, and I had got let go from that job. And I remember going home thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm kind of lost. And I had gotten an email from Powerful Intentions like a few weeks before. I kind of didn't pay attention to that, And when I got home, I'm like, I'm going to give this a shot. And I signed on. And at first everything was slow, you know, I'm like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm probably going to delete the page anyway because I'm not really good at keeping up a page. But Powerful Intentions was a, it was a whole different, it was just a whole different place to be because it allowed me to be able to grow and to actually give something to people. Because before, I've always been the kind of person that where anybody who knows me, family members, friends, call me whenever things are going wrong with them, and that still happens. But on Powerful Intentions, it gave me an outlet to be able to give from my heart, like to really give from my heart. And people actually, which surprised me, and I don't know why, but it surprised me, people were really drawn to me there. And there was one group in particular, and that's where you and I kind of went back and forth on. That's really where we kind of started really conversating at that one particular group that I just blossomed over there. That it felt like home for me being over there. And when Val and I met, that was starting to change. The whole dynamic of that group was starting to change. And things were starting to, we were going in transition.
It was becoming a transition, a big one.
And I remember there was one night in particular where we were playing around like we always did. We always got online and there was like a theme that we would play around with. And I remember getting on that night and I'm having fun, and then all of a sudden something hits me and I can't even explain to you or to myself what that felt like. But I remember being hit all of a sudden like this. It was this indescribable feeling of like sadness, and I started to cry. I'm thinking, you know, what the heck is going on? I started to cry, and I remember I got off. And usually, I don't when I'm tired or we were playing, you know, at a certain group. excuse me, I would always let people know, hey, look, it's been fun. I gotta go. You know, I'm getting tired. See you guys tomorrow. But that night, I just completely got off. And I didn't know what was going on. I cried myself to sleep. And then the next day I woke up and I go back to the group and I'm looking at, you know, everything else that happened after I had gone. And I'm thinking, wow, I mean, it had really gotten people, things were being misconstrued. There was misunderstanding. And I remember thinking, wow, I need to go. And I need to write something because, you know, all this turmoil that's going on, it started off being fun, and now it's not fun anymore. And I went on, I would start to write, I would delete it. I would start to write, and I would delete it. And I remember getting off completely for like an hour, and I go back, and Val had actually wrote something there. And I'm thinking, okay. Now, when I saw what she wrote, it gave me the courage to come from my heart. And then I also wrote something up there, you know, because there was a lot of stuff that was going on, and it looked like it needed to be straightened out. And it never really got straightened out, but when I saw Val up there, she gave me the courage to go ahead and write what I needed to write. And afterwards, it was when we started, like, you know, I think it was like a couple of days later, you know, we emailed each other and it was like, you know, what's your phone number? We need to talk. And that's, yeah, a lot of things blew up over there, but that's how Val and I got together because of the transitioning that was going on at that particular group. That's how Val and I got together.
Well, you know, what's so funny is that you know, Angela, we always talk about walking our talk, you know, part of that segue around that particular group and then I'll kind of backpedal was that I really felt led, intuitively led, to stand up to some of the contrast or the variables that were going on, like, and you know, the words that were, the conversation that was being used, but also what wasn't being said. There was like an elephant created in the room, mm-hmm. and it had to do with, you know, not really honoring everyone where they were. And that was like, that was the transition for me, is that I was sitting there seeing how drama was activated when people weren't honoring just the freedom of expression and not allowing people to just express themselves. And that was kind of where I was pulled. And I think that just me coming on and kind of sharing that, you know, each of us, We have our own stuff going on. We have our own thing. And in a community of people, you know, when you're agree to be in a community, that part of that agreement is, you know, if things aren't in alignment with you, you're welcome to leave, just like you're welcome to
yes.
just not be a part of something. But if you're agreeing to be a part of it, then that whole broader perspective around...
You just have to let people be who they
you know,
are.
Let people be who they are, mm-hmm. and you focus on you being authentic and you being real and coming from that place. Not telling people, you know, there's something I recently got the book with the Vortex with Abraham Hicks, and it reminded me of, you know, telling people you have to be a certain way or you have to change in order for me to be comfortable. That's exactly what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when I came and stepped up to that plate, I mean, I didn't know why I was so strong in taking a stance the way I did, because I just took the stance based on being led. There are times I take stance and I'm like, okay, I don't know why I'm feeling this way or I'm being led, but I'm going to take the stance and trust that there's something bigger happening. And when every time I trust that, you know, the bigger happening ended up being you saw something in that statement that I made
mm-hmm.
that connected to who you were and how you wanted to give yourself permission to be in that place where you were, because part of my intention behind this, let's honor each other. And that
right.
vibration, that thought, let's honor each other. Let's really get to, you know, if you're not in a fit for it, then you're welcome to go. But a lot of times triggers, a lot of times that we go through transitions, it's about us. And there's times that it's like almost like other people make it about someone else, but really our transitions are about us.
Yeah.
Everything that's in our environment and that we see is really things that we have created or we've conjured up or we've, you know, we're affected by. And not everyone is willing to, you know, kind of take a look at that perspective. But there was a old phrase that said from Webb Wilder said, if you spot it, you got it. And when people start becoming the master of their own realities, in other words, start holding themselves and honoring themselves in the sense of, wow, I'm always in the driver's seat of my choices. I can't control what other people do. I can't always control what's going on the outside of me, but I can definitely control the choices that I make
mm-hmm.
from within. When it comes from that place and that space, I feel like the universe conspires for our well-being, and that's with anything. It's like we come from that place of power. You know, we're in the power seat. And that's what transitions are about. It's like we can control our thoughts. We can control our feelings regardless of what's going on the outside.
Right.
And so that was the step that I took and how you and I got together. And, you know, I started closing doors last summer. You know, I kind of had some things on my plate. And I started closing doors because I said, you know, I want to, whatever's between me and my highest best, I want to clear it out. And boy, oh boy, when I said that statement, all of a sudden the contrast that showed up was the things that I was, you know, dabbling in or the things that I was focused on was not connecting me to my expansion. It was kind of like my detours, my distractions. And when I said that statement, the reflection of them being actual detours like showed up in more clarity and awareness. I got really clear that these were okay, they were fine, but there's a bigger thing in store. There's a bigger part that I wanted to grow or I needed to grow into, which, you know, was birthed from that very statement, my highest best. And so I put one foot in front of the other. You know, it wasn't like, oh, so I got, you know, an aha moment and I jumped into it. As you
mm-hmm.
and I are, you know, this whole show is about that. I put one foot in front of the other. And each time that I closed the door or I opened a door, it was that process of, you know, is this a fit for me? Is this a fit
yeah.
for me? And some things were not a fit for me. And I found out faster. Sometimes I didn't pay attention. You know, it's like, oh, I really want this to be a fit for me. And the contrast showed up and the obstacles. And what was interesting is they were draining my energy.
Yeah.
When they, you know, even when I ignored the stuff that was not a fit, they were draining my energy. So the thing that you know, that part. So Angela and I got together, you know, in December, and this whole idea about tweaking your vibrations came up, and we didn't know what it was going to be about.
Nope.
We had no idea.
We started with the a t-shirt idea.
Yeah. And
the
t-shirt idea is still
in the work.
Our long-term vision. But Angela and I started talking about, you know, what is an idea that we can come play with that would be fun and enjoyable. And so we started talking about that. But the tweaking your vibrations had to be about tweaking our thoughts, tweaking our beliefs, tweaking our emotions so that who we are, and who our wholeness about who we are spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, who we are can play more in our present mm-hmm. consciousness.
And tweaking it a little bit at a time, not,
yeah,
not rushing it, yeah, you know, one thing at a time.
It was one step at a time.
One
and
step
sometimes,
at a time.
You know, we took bigger steps and we had to go, I had to rein myself back. And I happened to leap big, tall buildings with a single
Yep. Yes, you're like Superman, you know, where he's, you know, able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. I know.
And, you know, Angela goes, I don't know about that, Valerie. And so I was like, okay, you know. Well, Angela, let's think, you know.
Hold on, you're
walking
too fast. I got to catch up.
But, you know, we just kind of one step at a time. And, we started looking at transitions about allowing what is showing up to be checked and to be deciphered and not just simply accepting it blindly. That was just the agreement and commitment we made that we would start checking. We would start walking our talk about moving out here in our expansion. What does expansion mean to us? Let's celebrate, you know, together. There could be that synergistic blend. You know, together we could work with one another, but we'd also hold each other accountable to mm-hmm. being authentic and being as real, and that we would support each other courageously and bravely through whatever we desired, because we wanted to be more of a service in a larger part. We love people. We wanted to be a service not only to other people, but also just really honoring what that service to ourselves. You know, what mm-hmm. does wholeness mean to us? What does being committed to being present mean?
And not just telling people, hey, look, this is what you need to do. No, you know, everybody's path. They have to, you know, work it out the way that they need to work it out. But by using ourselves as an example or sharing our stories, that's the way, you know, that's what I enjoy about being of service to people, by sharing my story.
Yeah, because we can only come from our own experiences, you know. But one of the things that was magical about us getting together is that we were able to kind of fine-tune the things that we contribute, because we were able to reflect back and forth, you know, some of the gifts that we might have been not acknowledging enough,
mm-hmm.
Not supporting mm-hmm. enough. You know, one of the things that Angela and I both found out is that we have, we're really in tune and sensitive to words and the vibrations of words.
Oh, yeah.
I love writing. I've been writing since I was 12 years old. And I don't think I've ever acknowledged that, you know, I would go out and look at the authors out there and I'd start saying, oh, I don't think I'm, you know, and I would hesitate. And, I, you know, here it is, the writing and the creative, you know, flow would just knock, knock, knock on the door of my mind, wanting me to just express myself more. But I kept it in the closet. And you know what? It was not serving me at all, because writing and expressing and communicating is just one of my bends. It's just, you know, that's what this blog talk shows are really fun about, is that it gives me an opportunity to come out and play and be larger. And you know, celebrate some of those gifts. And so I absolutely appreciated that. And Angela was able to acknowledge and support that part, that aspect of, you know, how we are in tune to writing and words And so that was one of the things that we kind of put in our baskets of, you know, how can our gifts be a service to not only ourselves, but to more people out there. So that was something that we came along the way. And, you know, the other thing about is putting blinders on distractions. We really got what was distracting us, yes?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, you know, it drains your energy when you are scattering it.
Oh,
it
my
is
God.
Energy
yeah.
draining. And so when we started putting blinders on, you know, like we'd have our conversations with one another, and we'd start saying, wow, you know, that's a huge distraction. That's not key, you know, that we have these dreams that we desire to express. There was something deep down, passionate ideas. But I was so focused on in other projects of supporting them, I didn't realize that really I was trying to live vicariously through those other projects. When if I just let them go and that, you know, and just surrendered into, you know, not be so attached to them, something else would show up. And what something else showed up was this brainstorm, the tweaking your vibrations. What really does this look like? And so I started, you know, spending time in meditation and writing things down. And what does tweaking your vibrations mean? You know, how can it provide a service to other people? How can it honor, you know, everyone from a mastermind level and a master of our universe rather than just from a student teacher? Or, you know, we know everything and no one else knows, you know, what they... We just really wanted to start saying, okay, if we all are here as masters of our universes, what does that mean? How do we honor that? And so that transition came because we both got together with that desire to honor ourselves at that level. Remember
yes.
that?
Yes. Definitely.
So, you know, some of it, so like for like, you know, six or, you know, for the last 6 or 7 months, you know, I kind of dipped my toe in different places. And my body, you know, I started asking my body, you know, what's in alignment with it? Because I wanted to understand from a physical point what energy felt like in the physical body. And, you know, I wanted my body to tell me what was out of alignment, what was in alignment, what was out of alignment. And I'm talking thoughts that are in alignment, emotions that are in alignment, what's in and out of alignment. I wanted to know. I wanted to consciously know. So, you know, I've always heard and scientists talk about there's divine intelligence in each of ourselves. So I thought, okay, if there's divine intelligence in each of ourselves, that divine intelligence can tell me when I'm honoring or dishonoring who I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I kind of put that statement out there, and it was a scary place. It's kind of like being a pioneer. You know, expansion is that pioneering process. You know, all sorts of variables are going to be in part of it, but the vision of honoring who I am and being whole with that, and wanting to expand into experiencing more of that, that fed, that vision, that desire fed everything that was going on around. And all of a sudden, the universe started opening the doors and moving obstacles out of the way. So just as easily as they showed up, it was kind of like riding a roller coaster. I had a session with a friend of mine, and we were talking about, you know, what it feels like to go through obstacles is kind of like a roller coaster ride, you know. It goes up and down. You have ups and downs. And I said, yeah. But what's interesting is when you hit a valley, you know, if you take a look at it being similar to a roller coaster ride, when you go into the valley, you're going into the valley fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
very fast.
And you're going fast. It's not like you even have time, really, unless you stay down there and you hold yourself back. The next thing you know, you're going back up into climbing the mountain. It's a very interesting process. But yet we have a tendency to take their obstacles and not climb the mountain, not break through them, not go, you know, like continue to go on. And when we climb a mountain, it actually is we're in there longer. If we look at the roller coaster, we're actually experiencing the ability to break through that stuff is a process that we're in it a little bit longer. It's a slower. We can savor those moments that we're courageous and we're brave and, you know, we're expanding ourselves. that process. It's just like it slows us down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we can be in the moment with it. But obstacles are like really fast. They can move out of the way when we're connected to who we are.
Yes.
There's more choices. There's more clarity. There's more power, I feel, or I believe in my experiences.
Well, you know,
there.
Too, what I found about obstacles is because I'm so, sometimes I'm so into moving it that I don't even see that I could just walk around it. I'm pushing on it. I can't move it. It's too heavy. And then, you know, I'm getting frustrated. And then when I finally decide, you know what, whatever, I look, to the side of it and I could just go around it.
Like water
yeah.
through the brook.
Yeah.
You know, you watch water moving around, going around. It touches it. It connects to it. But it doesn't detour water. I mean, there are dams, of course, you know. But even with dams, that water will work itself through.
Mm-hmm.
Find a crack.
Eventually.
So to speak.
Yeah, if
eventually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it will move through. It will find a way. It will not stay pent up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that contrast is allowing contrast to be like the wind behind the sails. The boat is our desire, and our desire is to connect to land, to expand it, that part of us, you know, out in front of us. And contrast can be the sail, the wind that moves our desires in our current reality towards the land, towards the place that we want to manifest it. If we allow the contrast to be the wind and
mm-hmm.
move the sails, move the desires, it will move us eventually to that space. Kind of like catching up with ourselves. But if
yeah,
we
exactly.
didn't know what we didn't want, then we wouldn't know what we wanted.
Exactly.
You know, and it's been said that all the time. There are times now that I honor that contrast. I don't judge it. This is a great time to kind of share something. You know, my husband recently, this is a transition he was going through. His work decided that they wanted to cut back on hours. And so at first it was like, oh my gosh, you know, because our lifestyle was created around, you know, what he was bringing in. And so if they cut hours, you know, we're looking at, you know, his, all the variables, the life insurance, the health insurance policies, blah, blah, blah. And so we said, okay. And instead of looking at that as a frightening thing, I thought, wow, we're getting ready to become more creative around our lifestyle. And, you know, it wasn't just birthed then. There had to been, I believe, kind of a pre-paving around having some desire to be more of in masterful, you know, mastering your time and energy. I really believe that that was part of the mix too, because I know that I want to become more masterful around the quality of my life and what I'm spending my time and energy on.
Mm-hmm.
So when that came up, I was getting really excited, and I said, wow, you're going to have an extra day. You'll have a three-day weekend, and you'll have an extra day to be creative about attracting and manifesting cash. And so right in the middle of that, it was so funny. Other things were kind of like obstacles were coming up. Our air went out in my car. My air went out.
Oh, yeah.
In my house, and I was like, woo, boy, there's some major things coming up. Wow, you know. What do I want? Well, I want the air to work, definitely. I want the air to work in my car. And so when I got to what I wanted and I allowed the obstacles to be just there, I didn't connect an attitude about them. What happened, I opened more doors of opportunity that the universe could conspire for well-being. So the day came where he was off, and we called somebody to check the air, and it was just such a small thing, and the money was already there. So, you know, it's like, okay, thank you, universe, you know, for taking care of our air. And then the car thing was interesting because I surrendered. I didn't know how to make it work, but when I surrendered, that power surrender of attaching, that it has to look a certain way, and I just surrendered and said, okay, you know, help me. Inner being, higher guides, you know, help me, you know, get to what I want. Help me experience what I want, mm-hmm. which is I want air to go on. And literally parts to help that air come in was actually handed to us. We didn't even have to pay for it. It was such a simple little like ideas on how to look for that part that went out started coming into my mind. And the parts that that would make that, it was a little switch. And so I didn't take it to a mechanic. I just allowed whatever ideas to get me to where I wanted, you know, it to work came in. And so the switch came in. It was free. It was given to us free. And the only thing that was spent was about 3 hours on how to make that switch work.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, Terry took it with a friend of his, and boom. Now it works better than it did before. So had that switch not gone out, I would have been still, my air would have been still in a variable of not really working, because it wasn't working okay, but based on the age of the car, you know, it was just not coming in when some of the hotter days. So I actually was a blessing. It was a blessing mm-hmm. the obstacle came up, because it shifted not only learning about the air and how it works, but a little tiny switch. And I stayed relaxed. I allowed it to just process, like, you know, I didn't get an attitude about it. I could have. I mean, it was right there. I was so tempted. You know, I could tempt to say, oh, my God, everything's falling apart, yada, 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 uh-huh. and go into that place.
It's
you know,
easy to go there, too.
Girl, it's very easy. It's very easy to go, you know. Uh-huh. Of course I hit the wall, but I thought, okay, what do I really want? I want to be fiercely committed to what I want. I want to put blinders on anything but what I want. And staying with what I wanted, it took a lot of courage, but yet on the other side of the, you know, when I got to the other side, oh my gosh, it was beautiful. And that was like a muscle memory. So I'm thinking, okay, when I focus on what I want, the universe conspires for my well-being every mm-hmm. single time. When I focus on what I don't want, guess what? I get what I don't want.
Oh my God. And you know, the thing about, that's a, because of how long or how we grow up and how many years, you know, we've been in practice of not watching our thoughts and training our thoughts to be focused on what we do want. It feels like I know for me in the beginning it was foreign, because I'm like, you know, how do you change your thoughts to get what you want when all this time I've been trying to make a move, an action, a physical action to get what I want. You know, I have to do this. You know, I lost my job. I have to find another job. I gotta go out and I gotta, you know, physically do this. But we don't realize that, you know, we're doing all this physical stuff, but internally, you know, because I know I've caught myself, I'm not gonna, you know, oh, this is not gonna turn out right. Oh, you know, or I'm so afraid that I'm not watching what's going on internally. And it's kind of hard to in the beginning for me, it was kind of hard for me to let that go and go back to, okay, you know, well, let me work on changing my thoughts, because nothing else has worked before. So let me work on my emotions and getting my emotions where I really want to be, get where I want to be internally and work that out. At first it seemed like it was, you know, a hard thing to do, but now, because it's just like, you know, it's sewing. It's like learning anything else. It's like learning how to do math. It's like learning how to you know, do a craft. You have to have a starting point, and you're not going to automatically be a genius at it at first. You know, it takes some time. And that's just the same thing it was for me. You know, I wanted to get from A to Z without going through B, C, D, E, F, you know, and all the other letters. I wanted to hurry up and get from one point to the other point. And I was missing out on the whole learning process and everything that comes in between.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of us do that. You know, it's like, okay, well, there's this concept and I want to change it. You know, I want to change the way things are going, but it's baby steps.
Well, you know, what you just said is also, I think, about the attitude we have about the obstacles. If we look at obstacles being a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
why the heck would anybody want to even allow them to show up? But if we look at obstacles as just that part of that helping, that nudging our desire to expand,
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we asked for it actually gave us more clarity about where, you know, what we truly want to honor and acknowledge, and that without it, it would be kind of like, you know, that just
yes.
that place of nothing, that no space. You know, this is the one thing also is about the attitude. Like, you know, we were talking about money falling. I love the whole idea about money falling from the sky.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, so this is one thing I saw the other day. I saw the movie For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner. And, you know, I'm into thinking about energy and how energy moves through thoughts and emotions. And because, you know, Angela and I are getting ready to launch a teleclass called Celebrate Wholeness. And that was that's how we baby stepped into, you know, how are we serving? How are we going to serve not only where we're expanding, but, you know, what is part of our purpose? You know, what did we come together for? And so that Celebrate Wholeness is, you know, born, it was birthed out of that passion and desire to not only expand, but be a service to, you know, contribute to the universe and contribute to our relationships and the people based on all the experiences and all the gifts and talents that we have learned all of our life. And that's what was birthed. And so we're really proud that teleclass is coming up in October. And so I was watching that movie, and one of the things that I saw is that he has a lot of passion for baseball. I mean, he was eating, breathing, and, you know, passion. And that was like the first thing, that was his love. And he met somebody along the way, and it was towards the end of his career. And he did something when he was a pitcher, and he did something on the mound that I thought, this is fantastic about energy. Is he said the words, clear the mechanism. And when he said that, all the noise of the crowds just left. And athletes do that. They do that zoning in, you know, they get into the zone and they clear it out and they get to visualize what they want. We can be exactly like that with our desires. And that's what was like an aha light bulb went off. Like I thought, oh my gosh, we can do that with the thoughts that are not about what we want. We can do that with, you know, of course, it's really good to process our emotions because then they don't kind of, you know, kick us in the butt coming mm-hmm. back around. It's energy, emotion. So, you know, we want to be able to move our emotions through our body because, you know, studies have shown that stress is suppressed emotion. You know, stress is suppressed stuff. It could be thoughts. It could be emotions and, you know, I don't know if we'll have time today to talk about something that happened with Gabby that had to do with thoughts and emotions, and it was powerful about how it moved out of her body, but it could have been a different reality if she would have accepted the intensity of it. So anyway, when he said that clear the mechanism, I thought, you know what, that's exactly how I started. Well, I practice clearing, creating that space, letting go of thoughts that made me feel drained and exhausted, and entertaining thoughts that had me feel more open and joyous and appreciative. And I started, you know, just kind of playing, just practicing with them over and over again. It was just like you know, it just started with that. And one day I realized that there was a lot of space. And I wasn't the noise. I cleared the mechanism. It was kind of like there wasn't so much noise going on. There wasn't so much chatter going on in my head. I wasn't replaying tapes and old scenarios. I was present. And I was able to see everything so crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a moment, I mean, such a revelation to me to not have to be in my head, in my past or in my future, worried. It was just like, okay, I'm really here. I am now here, and I'm present. Wow. And it feels so spacious. So
yeah.
That was a really powerful, you know, when I saw that clear the mechanism, I'm going to recommend people see that because they can do exactly what he did. He wanted to have, you know, what he wanted to clear, all that distraction out of his mind so that he could, you know, throw a clean ball. he could get what he wanted, which was, you know, striking the players out, basically.
And I think, too, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think, too, that, you know, it's because of our conditioning. It's, you know, whenever we were saying, you know, okay, well, find a good thought and stick with that, because that's going to help. That's going to help you take those baby steps into to training your mind to think those kinds of thoughts. And I think whenever we have any kind of crisis going on around us, I know for me, it used to seem like it was not right for me to take my focus off of the crisis, because then I wasn't solving it.
Exactly. But the thing is that, you know, even Einstein said that the problem and the solution are not in the same space.
Exactly.
That the solution does show, I mean, the solution's there. But solutions have a tendency to be of the nature of, you know, who we are. And who we are creators of our realities. We're divine master and creator.
The important thing, and survivalists will tell you that, you know, whenever you're out, you know, and you're lost in the woods, the most important thing for you to be able to keep your wits about you is not to panic.
Yes.
And it's the same thing for this. If you can get yourself in a state where you can think about or have a memory of something that, you know, where, a point in time where you were really happy, and focus on that, then you can think clearly. Things will come to you clearly. But when you're in a crisis,
that's kind of like a pivot. Yeah, that's like that pivot. Yes.
Yes.
You know what's so interesting, and I just got this, you know, as we're talking about this too, is that if you relax, if you go into that state of allowing and you relax, you're present to the creative ideas that can come to you. If you're focused on the problem, you're reacting to it, you're actually almost regurgitating, limiting stuff that, you know, because you're like trying to look around at what you've already done. Well, maybe that solution calls for a new place to be, a new state of mind. And when you relax and when I surrender, that new state can come in. And the shift and the change about where I am now. A lot of times as you're focused on the problems, it's almost like people go backwards. They don't stay to go forward. And you know what? We're all wanting to, you know, even if it's unconscious, I believe, you know, based on my personal experiences, that there's room for improvement. That obstacles don't come because we're looking for a lack of improvement.
Yes.
Obstacles come because they're kind of like our friends to help us get to the state of the desire of improvement. And
it's just like a baby. You know, you tell them all the time, "Don't touch that; it's hot. Don't touch that; it's hot." They're not gonna understand what hot means until they touch it, because hot to them is just a word. Yeah, hot to them is just a word. It's not that they haven't experienced hot. So it's the same thing with obstacles. If you don't experience some kind of contrast, you won't know which direction to take.
Yes. And, you know, just like that transition, this is the funny thing. I want to get back to this, Terry, because I was thinking that I got a little distracted, so I apologize. But when we played with that Friday game, and he was off, and we got out of the house and we went about, he actually got a call, and money showed up from that phone call. And we were just laughing and appreciating that money showed up. Here we were celebrating and getting creative, and the universe brought money to us, and it brought it in such ease. I mean, it was like if he had not been at home, he wouldn't have had that money just show up that way. And we just got a chance to see and experience coming from a place of relaxation. Now, I did say I wanted to pivot. You know, I wanted to pivot. I wanted to go into a new experience around, you know, things that are out of our control. And some things, when you agree to working, you know, in corporate America, there are rules that they have in that particular company or that office that are out of your control. But how you respond to them makes the biggest difference. And so the way we responded was, let's be creative. Let's be open to whatever opportunity shows up that then can fall into our laps. And so that was the piece. He got to see that more money showed up and an opportunity. And then what was funny was he went to work the following week. And they said, oh, well, we're going to go back to our schedule. It was like, now we had extra money show up. He used one of his vacation days. So we actually created money. He didn't lose out on having that day off because he used a vacation day that he had. And then all of a sudden, they went back to the same routine. And it was like, wow. We would have missed out on experiencing that expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And we also would have missed out on the opportunity to go to that place again, no matter what happens. And so we were just talking about money and how money falls from the skies, and we were talking about, you know, we were talking about energy. And so I was telling him about money and, you know, being a moral allower. And so he said, well, you know, what I realize is when I really want something, money seems to come up. And I said, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the energy coming through the light. When you want the light to turn on, it turns on, but you don't always know how it turns on. You know what I mean? You're not in the process. And he stopped for a minute. I said, what do you think? And he goes, well, when the light comes on, I want to turn it off. And I said, why? And he goes, because I'm thinking about the bill. And I have to work harder for it. And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, that is so funny that you went there. And I said, wow. I said, but you think about, you know, like he wanted to go to Paul McCartney concert and the money showed up to go to that concert. I said, well, you know, just allow the money to show up. And the money showed up in perfect timing. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? That money for Paul McCartney is just the way for the money for the bill. Mm-hmm. It's just an attitude shift. And so all of a sudden you can get excited that the money for your bills show up just as fast as the money for what you want, because you want to pay your bills. You want them to be effortless. And it was such a huge transition, and that was a thought transition, that he could now shift. Like, you know what? I can easily pay my bills. I don't have to work harder because I didn't work harder for the Paul McCartney. Why would I think I have to work harder to pay that bill? It was so incredible. And all it was is a transition in his mind. And so I wanted to share that because it was just recent. And, you know, I'm into this. Okay, thought shifting, transitioning thoughts, transitioning emotions, transitioning physical, and it was so beautiful.
And now he has a muscle memory of it. Now he knows that it can happen, and it only takes, you know, it only took, you know, one time for me to say, okay, well, you know, this is interesting. So, you know, let me keep trying this. Let me, you know, because nothing else has worked before. When I've worried or, you know, I've freaked out about things, you know, it only seemed to get worse. So let me try this, you know, and it only took one time. Now, you know, it may take more than once for, you know, other people, but for me, it only took once for me to say, hey, you know, okay, I want to go there. I want to play there.
Yes. Well, you know, everybody's going through transitions right now. They're going through a whole bunch of stuff on a global scale.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Angela and I just thought about, you know, what are we moving our and shifting our transitions for, you know, what are we expanding on? What do we really desire? Let's stay focused. And so out of that, we birthed this teleclass that's coming up. And we're just going to share that if you go to tweakingyourvibrations.com and click on Celebrate Wholeness, you're going to see that it's going to be a 5-week teleclass. And we're going to talk about honoring and mastering our wholeness in our physical body, in our present moment. And we're going to play and give resources and tools and tips, and we're giving a lot of benefits for this 5-week teleclass. But we are so jazzed that through our own transitions and through our own experiences that we are seeing how thoughts become things quicker and faster.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, we want to be able to, you know, spread the wealth and share the wealth with other people in a group setting versus one-on-one, because I can help, you know, support and empower and assist and work with people energetically one-on-one, but I really want to contribute in a larger way. And I would love for people to discover more of what feeling whole and complete in their body, no matter what shows up, how they can experience that just as easily as Angela and I have started over the last year, but I think we've been working with this all our lives. It's like we've been preparing.
Yes.
So we would love to have you guys check that out. Anybody that resonates with that, celebrating wholeness, honoring it, just go to our tweakingyourvibrations.com. you'll see that on our page, and we'll be also sharing more of that through our newsletter, I mean through our Facebooks and our at Powerful Intentions and stuff. And we just really appreciate everyone that listens to this call today, because transitions are can be fun, and they can be scary, but they can be fun. They can be whatever you desire them to be. But we're finding that there are huge, major benefits to bringing us to what we want. Yeah.
I wasn't having fun with it before, like in the beginning when I first started doing it, but now, you know, we were talking about something that was transitioning through last night. I'm enjoying this. I'm just enjoying and just watching everything unfold and happen the way, you know, that I really want them to happen. It's really been interesting, and I've really been enjoying it. So.
Yes, I have too. I mean, I'm just finding that my whole creative process has been fantastic. So I'm so loving, you know, allow myself to expand and grow and attract and manifest different things based on where I am and who I am now, more than I've, you know, ever, you know, more than ever in my whole history of being on planet Earth. But thanks, everybody. We're going to wrap it up right now. We so appreciate you listening to our call. You know, our Blog Talk listeners are growing, and our friends, and we really appreciate you being our listening friends. And you know, anytime, anything that you guys have a question on about our shows, you're welcome to, you know, join us at tweakingyourvibrations@gmail.com. You know, just email us, and or, you know, if you want to comment about our show or give feedback or things that you want us to talk about in the future, we welcome you. We're looking at our next topic. We're going to be announced because we're you know, creating this Celebrate Wholeness teleclass. But we can kind of, you know, toggle both. We love kind of coming out here and playing with this Blog Talk Radio. And so we have a couple authors that we want to be our guest interview, interview them. And that is going to be coming up as well. But for today, we hope you have an amazing day. And remember, who you are is greater than anything in the whole universe. And we appreciate you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Have an awesome day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.